This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
As the clock ticks towards the end of the campaign week in Sarawak, both sides of the coalitions are gearing up for polling day this Saturday. Let's find out what's happening on the ground there. We've got on the line now from Sarawak, Professor James Chin, the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. Professor James is in Sarawak as an independent observer in the elections. Professor James, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hi. So yesterday we spoke to the independent polling outfit Merdeka Centre about their predictions for these elections, and they've forecasted a BN win with a minimum of 66 seats, a maximum of 72 seats out of 81. So do you think that the results in the Sarawak elections are a foregone conclusion?
Yes, I think even before the announcement was made back in January, people expected Adinan to get the two-thirds majority. Your listeners will have to understand that in Sarawak, the Barisan Nasional here, for a whole range of reasons, have always been very, very strong. So basically, when it comes to state elections in Sarawak, people are talking about the margin of victory rather than whether the Barisan will be removed as the state government.
And what do you think about the margin of victory?
Well, this time is quite interesting. I think most people are looking at the opposition maximum combined opposition. They're looking at the maximum opposition winning about 22 seats. In terms of the lower number, people are looking at 7 to 9 seats.
Okay, well, going back to the Adnan Satim approach, shall we call it? I mean, this personality politics in Sarawak. Adnan Satim is still riding on the honeymoon period since he came to office. This is going to be his litmus test for his popularity. Do you think that given he's still riding high on that honeymoon vote, will they score a bigger majority, a bigger margin than what you expect?
It's difficult to say, but what is very clear is that the key point is that 11 new seats were added to the Sarawak state constituencies for this general election. Out of the 11 new seats, it is quite clear the way the boundaries are drawn. Barisan will probably take minimum of 10 out of the 11 seats, plus the 40 seats for the Barisan. So he sort of guaranteed 50 seats. In terms of the seats that are under dispute, the reality is that we're talking about less than 15 seats where the opposition has a real chance of winning, and maybe 6 or 7 where the opposition may win if something happens internally in Barisan Nasional, as in there was some internal sabotage. So yes, I think the Barisan will do very well. I think Najib and Adinan are already celebrating, so it really is the margin of victory. But having said that, let me just add on one more comment, and that is people in Sarawak, yes, they do feel that after the long period of time through that, they will probably give Adinan the so-called honeymoon vote. But the problem with Sarawak now is that a lot of people think that this will also be a vote for Adinan as well. Sorry, a vote for Najib as well, because he's been camping in Sarawak virtually for the entire state election. And in fact, they're going to hold a cabinet meeting in Sarawak to show that he's trying to take the lead in the elections in Sarawak.
So, James, do you think it's a level playing field there? I mean, you know, we've read of reports about the ban of opposition figures into the state. Also, every time the ruling party goes campaigning, there's, announcements of new infrastructure projects for various areas of the state.
I think we need to step back and look at the bigger picture. Elections in Malaysia has never been fair in the first place. But in Sarawak, it's more than that. I think in Sarawak, the role of money plays a very important role. In the rural areas, essentially, in order to win a seat, if you want a realistic chance of winning a seat in the rural areas, even before the elections start, you really need a budget of at least 3 million ringgit. If you really want to stand a really good chance of winning, you really have to maybe throw in double the amount, $6 to $7 million. So money plays a very important role in the rural areas. So as long as the opposition is under-resourced, I don't see how they can overcome this money problem.
Well, one of the most prominent political campaigns in this state elections is a movement called S4S, or Sarawak for Sarawakians. Are you seeing that gain traction on the ground?
Right. Well, the movement is sort of diffused all over the place. There's basically two big groups of S4S. The first group is sort of staying out of the election. the second group has basically thrown its lot with a small party called State Reform Party or STAR. In fact, one of the leaders of the S4S is standing as a candidate for STAR, and she's also the president of the STAR Party. Unfortunately, the S4S movement has actually been hijacked by the Barisan itself. So Adnan has cleverly taken on some of the key points of the S4S movement. For example, he's arguing that if I get a big mandate, I will make sure Sarawak regains all the rights that was lost to us under what they call the MA63 or the Malaysia Agreement 1963.
So, James, you're there as an independent observer leading up to polls on Saturday. What are you going to be watching out for?
Well, I think most of the key fights will probably be in the Chinese areas and also the Bidayuh area. So I'll be very keen to see what the margins are like in the Chinese area and also whether the DAP is going to make a breakthrough in the Bidayuh areas. The local Kopitiam talk is that most of the margins for the Chinese area will probably fall, although DAP will hang on to most of the seats. In the Bidayuh area, the dynamics are slightly different. There's a lot more candidates nowadays, and a lot of them are fake independents. So they expect the fight in Bidayuh areas to be quite intense, but the winners will probably, in terms of the margins, will probably be much, much smaller compared to the last elections in 2011.
James, you mentioned DAP. Just a quick understanding of the public view of the opposition in Sarawak. I mean, the Pakatan debacle over seats, the head-on clashes between DAP and PKR, has that cast the opposition there in a bad light?
Yes. A lot of people are really unhappy that the opposition can't even agree on a simple thing like seat distribution. But this is not really such a big issue in the Chinese majority areas or the urban areas. It is more an issue in areas where the six seats where the opposition are fighting each other, and also in the Dayak majority seats, which is seen as a big issue. But it's really not a big issue in the Chinese majority area. In the Chinese majority area, the real issue is really who the Chinese want to represent them. Do they want to keep the DAP, or do they, as they say in Sarawak, do they want to give a chance to the SUPP, the governing Chinese-based party?
Thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Professor James Chin, the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania in Australia, also an independent observer at the Sarawak State elections. I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.